Hello, I'm Carson Way with the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, and today we're talking with Guy Schaefer, who is an STS professor at Rensselaer Polytechnic, who specializes in composting and soils. And today we're going to talk about environmentalism in the time of the pandemic.
Hi, I'm really happy to be here.
It's great to have you. First off, I would like to ask, have you stayed active in the environmental movement during quarantine?
Yeah, I mean, so thinking about like what my involvement is in the environmental movement, one of the main kinds of work I do is I'm the board chair for this organization, BK Rot. It's a nonprofit compost hauler in Brooklyn that's all about creating good green jobs for youth of color. And so it's that's my main work, is just kind of helping to like make sure that this project is running and continuing to like serve the communities most impacted by environmental justice, while also making like good, clean soil for the for communities in New York City. I mean, I also, you know, I think of my work as a teacher on it, often as like involved in the environmental movement as well, but kind of in a extra professional work. The BK Rot work has really kept going strong. And, you know, there's been a lot of having to think about what that work looks like in the time of pandemic.
Given that there has been so much uproar about racial injustice lately, have you gotten involved with that movement at all?
Yeah. I don't think I've done enough yet. I mean, not that I will have done enough at some point, but I've been going to the protests that have been happening in the Capital Region, or at least a couple of them. There was the march in Troy this last Sunday, which was historically enormous. I don't know how much you heard about it, but it was 11,000 people marching in Troy, which is amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It was beautiful. And then there was a march in Albany the week before, which was, I don't think it was as big, but it was the biggest march I've ever seen in Albany. So I've been involved, like, you know, also just kind of trying to talk to white friends about like what, you know, abolishing the police means and stuff. And talking about it in class as well. But I mean, it's a really exciting moment in terms of racial justice right now.
Considering how a lot of environmental injustice is placed on community of color, what do you think people in the environmental movement can do to help people fighting for racial equality?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, and I think that often environmental movements think that, you know, race isn't something they really need to like reckon with, but race is very heavily tied to environmental quality. There's doctors Robert Bullard and Beverly Wright coined the term "the wrong complexion for protection." Being black in America is the number one predictor of living next to a toxic waste facility. And so, the toxic waste facility siting, which is primarily in black neighborhoods, is caused by a lot of different factors: least resistance facility siting, redlining, generational poverty, and also just, you know, the fact that we've got a production system that decides to make a ton of toxic wastes, thinking that they're going to find some neighborhood to deal with it that people producing that waste don't have to care about. But there's all sorts of forms of environmental injustice that I think should be targeted by the environmental movement. You know, air pollution due to truck routes that, you know, for shipping and for waste that get routed through black neighborhoods, indoor air pollution due to redlining, the jobs that are available to black workers, which are often more toxic and dangerous, food injustice. And then there's also just the lack of access to green spaces that black people are often faced with, both due to, you know, financial and like location borders, but also often due to like social barriers. Like, look at the Amy Cooper example, which I think really neatly demonstrates that like white people are often threatened, you know, and lash out when black people come into green spaces. So, absolutely. I think that, like, you know, recognizing the connections between racism and environmental problems is like really important.
You can definitely see a lot of that in the Troy and Albany area, given locations of the highways and the distribution of Yeah. Brownfields, yeah.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of historic industrial sites in North Troy. And so, you know, just the fact that the North Troy, which is, you know, a majority, I believe a majority Black community, you know, the soil there is more toxic than anywhere else in Troy. There's also in the area, there's, you know, just like this long history of the Sheridan Hollow. There's a waste incinerator in Sheridan Hollow that the Black community living there fought against for years and eventually got rid of. But now they're trying to move a fracked gas power plant into Sheridan Hollow. Community there is once again having to, you know, struggle against this infrastructure that's not going to benefit them in any way, and that will, you know, just continue to pollute in their area. So yeah, absolutely. We've got, and then also just the Norlite incinerator in Cohoes, which I don't actually know as much about, but I might also add just that, like, you know, understanding the role of racism in creating, or sorry, the role of environmental injustice and racism, and kind of like, not just as something that impacts Black people, but as something that has, there's a lot of writing in my field in environmental sociology that kind of recognizes that, like, the ways in which, you know, production systems have been designed has always kind of assumed there were going to be people who they could dump things on, that there were going to be people who could take on these jobs that are unsafe. And so I think that, you know, the fact that environmentalists for a long time haven't really tackled racism as like a major part of the environmental movement has really been detrimental to the movement. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that just like, you know, not only for the incredibly important purpose of just of fighting racism, but you can't fight environmentalism you can't fight for environmentalism. You can't do environmentalism without also tackling systemic racism.
Definitely. What advice would you give to someone looking to get involved with environmentalism on how they should be aware of the racial injustice involved with it?
I mean, so I would say, you know, there's a lot of reading to be done. I already mentioned Robert Bullard. He is a real go-to and just kind of an inspiring speaker, and I love to look into his work. There's, you know, in your area, there is probably an environmental justice movement that is fighting against some facility that has been dumped on the local Black community or Latinx community or working class community. And so trying to figure out the histories in the areas where you live is also a really important thing to do. I mean, here in the Capital Region, you know, we've got a history of environmental injustice, but we've also got a really amazing history of people fighting for justice. And so, you know, looking up like Aaron Mayer in the Capital Region was a huge voice in the fight against the garbage incinerator. And he's done some really amazing work kind of talking about that experience. Yeah, I wish I'd thought of books to recommend. I mean, you know, also food injustice, I think, is pretty inseparable from environmental injustice. And Leah Pennyman has this book that just came out last year, Farming While Black, that just does like an amazing job of talking about the relationship between the food system and the environment and the food system and racism, and kind of how to imagine a food system that actually serves Black and Latinx and Indigenous people, and, you know, just the ways in which traditions, traditions from like not Europe, can be really useful and empowering and necessary for transitioning out of our current unsustainable racist food system. So that's another just like great resource that's super accessible. So, Farming While Black.
Well, thank you for meeting with us today.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's been a pleasure.